This is NetVets, a series exploring the knowledge, challenges, and experiences of Boy Scout veterans.
Okay, my name is Jerome Whiteman, and I'm a Vietnam vet. My traditional name is Bebaban Ibanez, and I know that's a mouthful for a lot of people that don't understand our ways.
What challenges do Native veterans face that others don't?
I think a lot of that, too, have a lot to do with our culture. I would say your upbringing. Some of them have never left the res to go out in that big world, and it's a good place, and it's a bad place also. It's what you make of it. A lot of them, I don't feel, had that kind of support like I did. Back in the day, when I was growing up, I was a teenager, I couldn't wait to get out of here. So consequently, my need to look at what was over the hill, around the bend, was great for me. Other kids didn't want to do that. They wanted to stay here. The kids I grew up with today, they're still here. Some of them are doing something, some of them are doing nothing, you know. And I think that's the fear, because they don't want to be dealing with the stereotypes that I had to put up with back in the 60s, such as lazy, you're from the res, you're an Indian, I just don't like you because you're an Indian. That we're not Indians. None of us came from India. That was brought on by the white people. I don't like to use terms such as white people anyway, but for identification purposes only, and that's what I use that for. I don't use it as a derogatory thing or anything like that. How would you say white society's got to be in charge? And they don't like that when someone questions or are just as smart. Just like our own people today. We have our own, we have some of that are doctors. I don't know if we have any doctors from the band here. We have attorneys. I have my cousin who's down in the Twin Cities is an attorney today. I also have some friends from the Ely area that are attorneys. So yes, we are slowly catching up with these types of positions today. Some are teachers, and some, because that's what they want to do, and there's the opportunities today if you want it. You get to some situations in school where you just can't. Your funding goes haywire, or you don't do whatever it is you're supposed to do because of your upbringing. And that falls back on a lot of us up here that I've noticed over the years is our upbringing. Is that for whatever reason, it don't work. It doesn't work for us. So we say, heck with it. I'm not going to do anything then. And we have a lot of nice people up here, a lot of good people. But they fall into that little track. And I'm not saying they're bad. No, 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 no. Or lazy. No, no, no. It's just that their mindset. Blacks have that same thing, too. Same type of issue. I've talked with a few of those black guys. And in fact, I lived with a family when I was in Fort Benning, Georgia. And old grandpa, he was a black guy, and his dad was a slave. He laughed at me because we were making fun of white people, you know, and I'd say things about them that were humorous. Watch Saturday Night Live every Saturday night. And they make fun of black people, too. They make fun of white people. They make fun of everybody, you know. And that's what laughter, that's what keeps us going. That's good medicine. A lot of people don't believe it that way. They think you're making fun of them. But you look at it from the poking fun, and if you can handle it, you're going to do okay. That's just the way it is. We didn't make the rules, but it's best that we follow them, because if we don't, then we're going to have problems with our individuality.
What was it like coming back to Net Lake after your service?
Coming back to Net Lake, what I remember was just one big drunk. And nothing bad happened. It's just that by then I was a full-fledged combat veteran, just ready to get back out of the Army. And in fact, I was out when I got home. How would you say, I had no respect for authority. I didn't even have much respect for myself, for people in general. Again, I didn't have any problems with law enforcement or anything like that. Apparently, I knew where the line was. But my adjustment period was kind of hard to put up with, because when you're in a service area, when you're wherever you are, you're with a bunch of guys that are exactly the way you are. They want to go home. But then again, we didn't know what was around the next room if we did go home and got the traumatic feelings from the general public at home. What with the protests, war protests going on at that time in the news, the media had a field day with that. And a lot of our problems are, our social problems are, how would you say, are brought on by the media, because they glamorize it, and they have nothing else to do, but that's all they talk about. So they feed the they feed the problem. But yeah, my adjustment was a little rough at times. Like I said, I was partying and all that. The basic goodness I was brought up with, came through many times, and I'd sit there. Maybe it was my PTSD too. I'd sit there and think about an issue, or where I was, or what I was doing. Even if I had a can of beer in my hand and I was partying with someone, I'd be sitting there thinking by myself, "What am I doing here? There must be something else, better maybe, or different. But why am I here?" I had three little ones at that time, and I was still carrying on that same kind of a lifestyle until, I don't know, it was one of the tribal elders came and talked to me, and what she said made a hell of a lot of sense to me. So I slowed my lifestyle down a little bit and started, how would you say, taking care of business as it should. She pulled me off to the side there and looked right into my eyes, not gruff or anything like that, or like she was talking down to me. It's just that she told me life as it really is and as it should be. And apparently in my foggy mind, something clicked. I've been chemical-free, alcohol and chemical-free for the last 36 years. That's just who I am today.
Net Vets was produced by the Net Lake Radio Project and made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.